Okay, so last class I gave about 2 weeks back was on the fifth chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, do you all remember what is that described Vasudev's despondency, that he was feeling discontent, and at that time Narad Muni came and Narad Muni advised him about the importance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like, there are general consideration is to follow the path of Dharma in order to have a happy life with material. And at the end, get liberation from the material bondage and go back to the spiritual world. Often this liberation is considered to be an impersonal liberation of Sahajya Mukti. And even the other positive liberations on Vaikuntha, that also is not desired by a devotee. A devotee's desire is to simply serve the Supreme Personality of God. And then after that, Vasudeva, Narad Muni described his own life, how he, in his previous life, how he was the son of a maid servant, and he had the good fortune of serving some bhakti Vedantists, some self-realized souls, and in some other Puranas it has been described that those personalities actually. So Narad Muni had the good opportunity of just being around them. He was just a little boy, the son of a maid servant, so he did not really have much of a facility to serve them because he was too little. And then once with their permission, he took their remnants. So this is how one actually receives the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But first, by receiving the blessings of a saintly person or saintly persons. Just by taking their remnants, taking their prasad, Narad Muni became attracted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was only 5-year-old boy, but he developed the attraction. This attraction was to listen to their discussions about the Supreme Lord, his name, form, and qualities. So with rapt attention, this little boy used to listen to them. This affinity to listen to the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead developed due to his receiving the mercy of the saintly personalities in the form of their remnants. And then Narad Muni described that how in today's class, Narad Muni will actually, in the sixth chapter is today's topic. So in this topic, Narad Muni is describing that as a little boy, after the Bhaktivedanta's left, he became quite attracted to the spiritual practice. He lost his interest for, like any other boy does of his age, to play with his mates, playmates, or toys and other things, or spend their time in frivolous games and sports. He did not have any attraction for all that. He was simply interested in meditating or thinking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From the Bhaktivedantas, he actually developed this attachment, he developed this knowledge, developed this understanding as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, and how attractive he is, and his qualities and his activities are so sublime, so enlivening, and so attractive. So, Narad Muni But at the same time, he was only just a 5-year-old boy, and his mother was just a maid servant. So they were living in quite a lot of hardship. And at a time like that, Narad Muni was simply attracted to Krishna consciousness, and he didn't have any affinity, any attraction for anything else. So at that time, one day, when his mother was going to milk the cows, she got bitten. Generally, a child of that age, if he lost his mother, he would have been completely bewildered, completely perplexed. But Narad Muni, because he was situated in transcendental knowledge, he thought it was actually an opportunity created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to cut off all his attachments. His only attachment was his mother. Not that he was attached, but his mother was very attached. We can understand, for a widow, the only, and to have an only son, she becomes completely attached to that son because she doesn't have a husband. She doesn't have anybody else. So her son becomes the object of her affection and love. So his mother's only shelter and only object of love was he himself. So when his mother died, Narad Muni actually felt that it was actually an opportunity. And soon after that, he left that place and started to travel. He traveled north. The direction north is good for meditation and other such activities. And so Narad Muni traveled towards north. And it has been described that just as a little boy, he traveled through many forests, many cities, many towns, many forests, many mountains and deserts. And then he came to a banyan tree, and he sat under the banyan tree and started to meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He heard from the Bhaktivedantas about the Supreme Personality of Godhead who was situated within his heart. And the Bhaktivedantas also, before leaving, they instructed him. Obviously, they gave him the mantra and instructed him on how to meditate on the mantra. So, Narad Muni began to meditate upon his Lord in the heart. And eventually, he saw the Lord in his heart. And that sight of the Lord was so beautiful, so attractive, that he felt that this is the greatest happiness that one could ever have. No other enjoyment, no other joy, no other happiness could compare even at a minute fraction of that delight and joy that he is experiencing, seeing the Lord face to face. And then all of a sudden, the Lord disappeared from his heart, or from his vision, from his sight. And when that happened, he just jumped up in anxiety. And he wanted to see the Lord again and again, but he could not. Just for a moment, that one vision, one glimpse of the Lord made him so attracted that he was prepared to leave everything. And he was prepared to do anything to see that Lord. And in this way, he went through the process of Ashtanga Yoga again. This way we can see that yoga siddhi of seeing the Lord in the heart is not actually an ultimate result of the yoga process, but it is due to the mercy of the Lord that one can get to see the Lord. And so after a long endeavor to see the Lord again, Narad failed. And then the Lord, he heard his heard the voice of the Lord. And the Lord told Narad, "I'm sorry that in this life you won't get to see me again. But in the next life, he will become one of my associates." So then Narad Muni, at that time, receiving the instruction of the Lord and knowing that this form that he saw of the Lord will not be visible to him again, so he began to travel. And while he was traveling, he was simply preaching the glory of the Lord. Wherever he go, he was in this glory of the Lord. He'll simply describe the importance of the chanting of his holy name. He will describe how wonderful the Lord's activities are. He will describe to people how beautiful the Lord's form is. He will describe how wonderful different qualities of the Lord's are. How wonderful his abode is, how wonderful his devotees are, and how wonderful is the benefit of being surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, Narad Muni kept on preaching all over the world. He was just traveling around, and wherever he would go, he would simply sing the glory of the Lord. And then came the end of the millennium. End of the millennium means the end of the day of Brahma. So after 4,320,000 years, now Brahma is going to fall. So then Brahma, along with all the living entities, went into the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Narad Muni also went into the body of the Lord. And Brahma remained there for one whole night. The duration of that night also was 4,320,000 years. And that when both sages also appear from the body of the Lord, like Pulastha, Pulaha, Marichi, Angira. And then he also came out through Brahma as Brahma's son. Through Brahma's mind he appeared as Narad Muni. Brahma, in this way we can see that when Brahma goes to sleep, everything again dissolves. And everyone, all the living entities, along with Brahma, goes into the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the body of the Lord, they remain as when Brahma falls asleep, because every living entity is related to Brahma, connected to Brahma. Their existence in this material nature is in relation to Brahma. When Brahma goes to sleep, everyone else also. And when they go to sleep, where does Brahma go? And when all the living entities go at the time of annihilation, they all go back to the Lord's body. And then when Brahma wakes up after 4,320,000 years, then they get up again. They wake up. And in this way we can see their position changes. Not that they come back in the same situation. Sometimes these rishi and demigods may come back, but other living entities, when they come out after Brahma's sleep, their position changes. Like for example, in the previous life, Narad Muni was the son of a maidservant. But now he became Brahma's son as Narad, a self-realized soul from the very beginning. And this is also very interesting, that Brahma, when he begins the creation, the first persons that he creates from his mind, initially Brahma creates from his mind. that creation actually takes place through the different living entities first coming into being. So first living entities that came from Brahma are the four Kumaras. And they came from Brahma's mind, actually. Therefore, they're known as Manushaputra. So we can see how powerful Brahma is. That from his mind, he can create personalities. And what kind of personalities? The first four sons of Brahma are the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras, and these four Kumaras were not at all interested in materialistic activities. So when Brahma asked them to help him in procreation, his four sons didn't want to get involved. He said, "I'm sorry, we don't want to get involved." And that caused Brahma to become angry. But Brahma is also such a powerful personality that his anger could destroy everything. So when Brahma got angry, his sons could have been destroyed. So Brahma restrained his anger, thinking, "Oh, they are my children. So how can I get angry with them? That may even destroy them." So Brahma controlled his anger. And then anger of Brahma came out in the form of the Rudras from between his eyebrows. And then again Brahma created 10 sons from his mind. So those 10 sons were the Prajapatis, the rishis, the great personalities, like Pulasa, Pulaha, Kratu, Marichi, Angira, Vashishta. And the youngest one was Narad Muni. So this time, Brahma's sons listened to him. When he told them to help him in the procreation, help him in create the progeny again, so they agreed. But Narad was like his first four brothers, four Kumaras. He was not interested in materialistic activities. So this way we can see how Narad Muni actually became a self-realized soul in this world. He was already a self-realized soul. He was already a pure devotee of the Lord. He simply changed his body. And by changing his body, he got such an exalted position. Narad Muni is the original spiritual master of all living entities. So whoever wants to go back to Godhead, whoever wants Narayan, the giver of Narayan is Narad Muni. Therefore, whenever somebody wants to become a devotee of the Lord or please the Lord or become associated with the Lord, they always receive the benediction of Narad. Like we can see how Prahlad Maharaj received the benediction of Narad Muni, Dhruva Maharaj received. And in this way, Narad Muni also sees that whenever somebody is eligible, whenever somebody is qualified to become engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narad Muni personally comes and gives him the instructions, instructs him. So this is how all these great So that is a unique position that Narad Muni had. The unique position that Narad Muni had in this way. And so this is how Narad Muni became the Mahabhagavat and the original preceptor of the Bhagavat Parampara after Brahma. From Brahma, two Parampara came out. One parampara is the Karma is Bhagavat Parampara. One parampara is enjoyment in the material nature and liberation from material nature. And the other parampara is glorification, the Supreme Personality of Godhead through pure devotional service. So this parampara has been established by Narad Muni from Brahma. And so that's why here Narad Muni is now imparting this knowledge to Vyasadeva. He's instructing Vyasadeva. Become engaged in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. motivate people to become engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What you have given all this while is simply pertaining to Karmakanda and Gyanakanda. Vedanta Sutra also is falling in the Gyanakanda. But pure devotional service will be on that. And since you haven't done that, since you have not described the sublime body of the Personality of Godhead, you can see your own situation, your own condition. You're still discontent. So now that you are discontent, you realize that following what you have given so far, people will also remain discontent. So what will fully satisfy the heart of a living entity? Jenatma suprasidati. What will simply satisfy the heart of the living entity? That is pure devotional service. This is how Vyasadeva was instructed by Narad Muni to describe the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is what is being described at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Step by step, the understanding is being revealed here. The knowledge is being manifested. So in this way, the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam is also being established. That this is the topmost thing. Vyasadeva, at his most mature stage of understanding, gave this Srimad Bhagavatam after writing all the Vedas and summarizing it in the form of Vedanta Sutra. So beyond Vedanta Sutra is Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam is the natural commentary of Vedanta Sutra. Bhagavatam is the commentary of Vedanta Sutra. You read Vedanta Sutra, you won't be able to understand anything. But when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, then you understand what Vedanta Sutra is talking about. So that is how wonderfully this whole transcendental knowledge has given to us, the living entities of this material nature, in such a wonderful way. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question?
Yes, I've just activated the questions and answers session. So please, if anyone has any questions, please dial *6 and you will be placed into the queue. So dial *6 to ask your question. When you're asking your question, you can also mute your line by dialing *6 again.
Give your name. Yeah, and give the name also, whoever is asking the question.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, please accept my most humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. This is Nanda Dulal Das.
Hare Bol.
Guru Maharaj, today is a very short class. You know, I thought it will go on another half an hour anyway. My question is, you actually answered in that sense, you know, like that verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sabai Pungsha Paro Dharma, Yato Bhakti Adrakshaji. Ahayituki Aprithyata Yatma.
Yeah.
But in the new first stage, which we ask, it is very difficult to do without any desire to do service to Lord, because we are material body and we live in the most dangerous condition, that we have to earn money, we have to go meet people. So how to overcome that difficulties, the tormented by the material nature, to do pure bhakti?
You see, pure bhakti is not dependent upon your external situation. Pure devotional service is a state of consciousness. Where was Arjun when he was rendering devotional service.
The battlefield.
Huh?
In the battlefield.
Then? So what can be so? What can be more difficult situation than that? So this is how Krishna is pointing out. The devotional service is not dependent upon any external situation. It is a matter of your consciousness. Where was Prahlad Maharaj? When he was rendering his service, surrounded by all the demons. So, don't worry, just carry on rendering devotional service, maintaining your attachment to Krishna. Just pure devotion means pure 100% dependence upon Krishna. That is the meaning of pure devotion. Pure devotion is not any external situation. Pure devotion doesn't mean that you have to go to the forest and render devotional service. Pure devotional service, therefore, can be executed anywhere by anybody in any circumstances. Okay.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. We can see.
Hare Krishna, Archana.
We can see, Hare Krishna, Maharaj, we can see how Narada Muni, when he was a small boy, and after his austerity, he could see the Lord in on his heart. But after the Lord disappeared, and he was saying, expressing how this was, that was a condition to develop more attachment. That is, hello, the fact. Can you hear me, Maharaj?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So the.
I can hear
so
you.
So the fact that the Lord disappeared from his sight was impetus to develop more desire for to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
So my question is, like, nowadays with the technology, it's easy for us to just turn up our computer and see the Lord from home, or we can just, even I can see the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Someone can just, you know, store it, and we can see any time. So how are to develop this attachment and increase our desire to serve in the mood of separation? Like, is my question clear, Umar?
Okay, the first consideration is the Lord very mercifully gave his darshan to Narada Muni simply to increase his attachment. And the Lord said that to Narada also, that I have just given you the darshan in order to increase your attachment to me, so that you become more and more attracted. And then the second consideration is that seeing the Lord is not going into our eyes, material eyes. Seeing the Lord will develop through a love for Him. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santas sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. So ultimate consideration of seeing is through when our heart becomes
Umar, I can't hear now.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, can
Krishna?
You hear me? I think we lost his connection, so let me just call him back. Please hold the line.
Okay.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Sorry, Guru Maharaj,
Hare Krishna,
we lost your connection.
Yeah.
Please continue.
So, Archana is still on the line? Okay.
Yes.
Are you on the line, Archana?
Yes, I'm still on the line, but I could not hear the second
part. Okay. The second,
yes,
the second consideration is the Lord cannot be seen with our mundane eyes. When our eyes become spiritualized due to our love for Him, then only we'll be able to see Him. And the third consideration is that, as I also mentioned in response to Nanda Dula's point, that pure devotional service is a matter of consciousness, which actually means matter of love for Him. So that is what we have to try to develop. And the process is there, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Bhada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Sakhyam, Dhani, Vedanam. So follow the process, and in due course of time, it will happen. Material needs are there, but as long, eventually, by Krishna's mercy, we will become free from the bondage of this body. Then all those material needs also will disappear. Does it answer your question, Archana?
Yes, Gumaj. Thank you, Gumaj.
Part of your question, I just missed that. I forgot that, actually. What was the last part of your question?
I think we may have lost Archana Mataji.
Okay, sorry. So is there any other question?
There is one more question, Guru Maharaj. Let me bring it up.
Yeah, okay.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Rohini Nandan Das. I really didn't have a question. I just wanted to say hi and spoke with you for a while.
Okay. What time is it now there?
It's about 6 a.m.
Okay, it's not so bad for
not
you.
Bad. Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Yeah. Yeah, Hare Krishna. So, Rahini, how is everything?
Sorry, Maharaj, I actually moved on to the next question. So please let me bring Rohini Prabhu back. Just one second.
No, that's all right. That's all right. He just told me he simply wanted to talk to me. He didn't have any question.
Yeah. Okay. I think we have the next caller.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Sharanagati. I'm waiting for the train. Hare Krishna. I wanted to thank you. I just wanted to say that my question is also a revelation, because in the period of time of understanding and following you, I have had the opportunity to relate to many people in the global relationships, not only at the United Nations, but just people who come. And some of these people are connected, some who you know. And I have watched the spiritual growth and maturity take place. And I sometimes questioned my own opportunity to spend time, you know, to deepen my spiritual practice. But at the same time, I feel connected and have such great love in my heart. And now when I relate to these people, I'm feeling that there's opportunity that's going to another level. So I know my question is not direct, but it's in a form of appreciation and gratitude to be a devotee and to to say that, just to say thank you, and also many regards.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
To Srila Prabhupada.
Many regards to you from everyone.
Like, he created that good fortune. And one thing, Sharanagati, you see,
yeah.
I'll be going to New York most probably on the 12th or 11th, something like that, 11th or 12th, the Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 12th. And probably I'll stay in New York area for 3 days. So make it a point that I would like to meet with Sally.
Yes.
And Sally and Rolf, I would like to meet.
Yes.
And also, anyway, I'll tell you, or whoever
right.
you feel that I should meet.
All right. Yes, so. Because just a couple of days ago, I met with them, and they have moved to a new office, and it's a whole different atmosphere, and they are just so full of love for you, and they want to work together. So I see all the governments and the connection. So I thank you so much again, and I thank Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Guru Maharaj. Hello, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hi, Bob.
Yes, I think we're back online now. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. Yeah, that's all right. This time the line was not good. But one thing I learned, Anand, maybe if my line is not good enough, then I can just get a local line and you can call me and connect me.
Yes, yes.
For the future.
I'm sorry, I should have had that.
Because, you know, so that way we won't lose much. I mean, anyway, we are learning through our mistakes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have been better prepared, Guru Maharaj.
That's right.
Okay, so I don't think we have any other questions.
Okay.
So I think we can leave it there. So thank you very much, Guru Maharaj. Shall we discuss the next call, offline or online?
Next call, yeah, we can or discuss it online, offline, doesn't matter. Saturday, let me see where I will be. I'll mostly be in Ujjain next Saturday. So most likely I'll be able to do it.
Okay, great.
The Indian time will be 5:30 here.
Yeah. 5:30, yeah.
Yeah, most likely I'll be able to do it. Yeah, I'm sorry that today's program was not really very. I mean, my mood also got kind of.
Yeah, I'm sorry about the disruption. I'll be better prepared next time. I'm sorry about that very much. Okay.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Just someone up on the line for the participants. So the next teleconference, as you heard from Guru Maharaj, will be on Saturday, the 6th of October. And Guru Maharaj will be in Ujjain. Please watch out for the announcements on BCS Istagosti and on Facebook on Guru Maharaj's page. Please search for Bhakti Charu Swami for his Facebook page. And you can see the dial-in details, as well as a link for the recordings of today's seminar, as well as all the previous seminars. And if you have any feedback, questions, comments, suggestions, please email me. My name is Atma, and you can email me at info@vpnglobal.org. That's VPN, for Vaishnav Professionals Network. info@vpnglobal.org. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.